Hello and welcome back to Cogenia Below the Barrel podcast. So if you listen to this weekly, I didn't have an episode up last week. I apologise. I was a bit inconsistent. So I might be consistent in a lot of other areas of my life, particularly fat loss. But sometimes, just because I'm disciplined in one part of my life doesn't mean that I'm disciplined in every other part of my life. I am human and sometimes I need to prioritise. So for example, you know, my photo shoot prep is a priority to me at the moment, so that gets done before anything else. And then next would be, you know, my business and stuff, and the app launched last week too, so that's going great. We have 148 members, I think, in the Facebook community, and then there's obviously a portion of people who aren't on Facebook and aren't in the group. So yeah, we've a good chunk of people there, and we've people getting results already, losing a pound or two a week since they started. The community is great because, you know, other people, when they're in that group, they know that if they're feeling a certain way, that they're not by themselves. And it can be a lonely road when you're on a diet, especially if you're surrounded by friends and family who don't give a shit about, you know, what they eat or anything. And you're trying to be disciplined while you're in the midst of all that, you know, at family gatherings and stuff, or excuse me, if someone's over for tea or whatever. Not having that extra biscuit and then getting quizzed on it. Like, there's a whole episode in itself about things to expect in a calorie deficit that you wouldn't expect. You just expect the scale to go down, but there's so many other things. But the app is still available. There's a monthly subscription and an annual subscription. So if you want to sign up for the month, you get 4 weeks worth of workouts. You get all the stuff in the database. So I have my Fitness Pal help guide. I have a yoga teacher on it. I have a mindset psychologist who's going to help you with fat loss. I have a video on how to take your measurements. I have an air fryer recipe ebook, macro friendly, and I'm going to be adding other ebooks to it next month. And then the annual membership is, I think, $250 if you want to sign up for the year. And yeah, so it's basically like having a PT in your pocket. So obviously you don't get the one-on-one check-in with me, but that's my one-on-one service. But I am in the Facebook group, and whenever people have questions, I usually sit down in the evening or else in the morning and, you know, put aside 20 minutes to answer any concerns people have about the app or just in general. And I'm always posting an old motivational quote into the group every day to help people, you know, kickstart their day. Because to just actually bring up, like, there's a couple of people who've been losing maybe, you know, 2 pounds in 2 weeks, and someone is worried that they haven't lost 1 pound. But don't be comparing your chapter one to their chapter three. Like, they could have started, you know, 2 weeks ahead of you. They could have a completely different lifestyle. And people who carry more weight are going to lose it a little bit quicker as well. So, you know, there's just so many different factors. So don't play that comparison game. Everybody has a completely different set of circumstances that will dictate their rate of fat loss. Okay. And if you're doing it correctly, it should be about a pound to a pound and a half a week. All right. If you're doing an aggressive approach, that's not going to last long, and you will burn out pretty quickly and you won't be able to maintain that way. You're going to be looking at about 2 to 3 pounds a week, but that's not going to last. So if I was to go for the sustainable approach for 1 pound to 1.5 pounds a week, that's exactly the way I would go. And it's the way I've been going for the last 2 years, and I've been able to sustain it, and it hasn't affected life in any way. So another thing I wanted to touch on before we jump into this episode is I often get questions about people who have the gastric sleeve. So look, each their own. If that's the way you want to drop body fat, you know, that's completely fine. That's up to you. And if all you ever want to get out of it is just to drop body fat, that's fine as well. But there's people who get it, they drop body fat and then they want to build muscle. So I'm just actually going to, or else they might have, like, you know, that nagging piece of body fat that just hasn't gone, even though they've lost maybe stones, but there's still that stubborn piece of body fat that just won't go away. So let me just explain how this works, okay? So obviously, if you haven't got it yet, and maybe this is something to take into account if you have, like, you know, a long-term goal that you want to achieve from getting the gastric surgery. I always get mixed up, like, gastric sleeve, gastric bypass. I don't know, it's kind of all the same. I know they remove half your stomach for one and then they put a band around your stomach for the other. So I have a friend that has had it done, and he basically, anytime we go out for food, he like would feel sick after the starter. Like, we would order, like, food, like, this is obviously when I wasn't doing photo shoot prep. we would order, say, we'd go to a pizza place and he would order wings and, you know, I'd order wings, my friend would order wings, and then we'd share a pizza between all of us. And he can't even get through his wings before he's getting up and going to the toilet and getting sick. Like, his stomach has just shrunk. Like, it's... And this is exactly what I'm talking about when you need to fuel yourself properly if you want to get the body of your dreams, okay? So this is where the gastric surgery can be a massive barrier in this, because when you use a TD calculator, okay, that's going to tell you what your deficit calorie is, your surplus calories, your maintenance calories, and you tell it your height, your weight, your age, your level of activity, and that calculator goes away, takes your information and comes back with calories. Let's say you want to be in a deficit, okay, here's the amount of calories for someone of your height, weight and age has to eat to lose body fat, okay? So let's say that could be 1800 calories your calorie deficit is, right? I'm just picking this number out of the sky, right? It might be lower, I don't know. I'm just using this number off the top of my head. That TD calculator doesn't know you've had half your stomach removed, or it doesn't know that it has a band tied around your stomach to make it smaller, okay? It just thinks that you're an adult with an adult-sized stomach, when in reality, you are an adult with now the stomach of a 12-year-old, okay? And if a 12-year-old wanted to be in a deficit, they can't stomach 1800 calories, okay? They would probably have to be on about 1200 calories. And you're trying to eat 1800 calories when your stomach is like, I can't fit all of this into my stomach on a daily basis. Because let's think of the portions, okay? Like, you know, portions, meal portions are going to be a lot smaller on a 1200 calorie diet than they would be to an 1800 calorie diet. I have another friend who was on it, like, you know, they find it hard to eat bread. When I did one of my challenges, I have a consult form and, you know, people fill it out. They let me know if they had any medical conditions or whatever. And I was doing a check-in then with one of the girls a week later, and she was filling in our daily calories and it was all like 900 calories, 800 calories. I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, you can't keep eating like this. Like, this is not the way to go. Like, your calorie deficit is like, let's say 1800 calories. I was like, you're only eating half of that on a daily basis. You're going to fade away to nothing. You're not going to be able to build muscle. Like, she was a beginner, so you can build some muscle when you're a beginner. If you are an advanced trainer, athlete like myself, you need to be in a surplus, okay? So she was at a slight advantage. She was complaining about having no energy, and I'm like, well, you're only on 900 calories a day. Like, you know, your protein is zilch, and let's not forget, protein fills you. And if you can't eat food as it is and you're throwing in protein on top of it that fills you too, like, you are in for a rude awakening. So she basically said, oh, I had gastric surgery. And I was like, well, you should have put that on your consult form realistically, because your stomach cannot handle 1800 calories, and you're not going to be able to build muscle and fuel yourself properly on 1200 calories. Like, people who step onto stage, you know, and compete, like bodybuilding, like, they're on 1200 calories a couple of weeks before they step on stage, and excuse the language, but they call it dick skin lean. That's how lean they are. That's how low food they have to be on. Like, I don't disclose this much on my Instagram stories, but I'm doing photo shoot prep at the moment, and I started off on 1800 calories. That was my deficit. Then it moved to 1500 calories, and now it's below that. I'm not going to disclose the actual number, but I have to do that for the next 12 weeks, and I'm not looking forward to that. So, you know, for someone to have such a big appetite, then to go and get gastric surgery and then be limited to 1200 calories, they probably can't even stomach that alone. That's difficult, and you're trying to build muscle on 1200 calories. Because I want you to look at it like this, okay? When you're in a deficit, you have to be burning more calories than you're taking in, all right? So you're expending more energy than you're taking in. You know, energy is food, aka calories. So a surplus is where you're taking in more energy than you're expending, okay? So you're not moving as much, and you're taking in more food than the amount that you're moving, all right? That's how people put on weight. But when you're doing it properly with sufficient protein, like, you will build muscle and just some body fat. It won't all be body fat. And then if you just want to maintain, you're moving the same amount that you are burning, okay? So that's basically it. So when you're already not able to stomach enough calories, like, if your threshold is like 1200 calories because you've had gastric surgery, like, you know, if you actually started tracking and looked at the amount of food that you can only stomach, and, you know, your proper calorie deficit is like 1800, like, not only are you going to be absolutely burned out, like, you know, especially with activity thrown on top of that, like, imagine, you know, if your actual calorie deficit is 1800, and you're eating 600 calories below that while you're doing spin classes, while you're working out in the gym, like, you're pissing against the wind. So if you are looking to build muscle and you have had gastric surgery, they don't teach that in personal training courses. Like, we are not taught how to deal with people like that, who've had like those, you know, who have manipulated their stomach size. We aren't taught how to deal with that. So like, it's a catch 22. So if you haven't got it done yet, that's something that I would take on board. Like, you know, if there's someone that you're looking at online thinking, oh geez, I'd love to have whole arms, I'd love to have whole legs, you are going to find it incredibly hard to build muscle if you can't even stomach 1200 calories, because when you're in a surplus, you have to eat a lot. Okay. So that's just something to be aware of. And you know, some people just drop body fat and they're happy with how they look and they don't plan to go to the gym. Maybe they do want to go to the gym and they do it as a hobby. But if you are actually going to be serious and thinking about building muscle, you know, over a long period of a year to two, like, you need to be able to stomach a lot of food. And, you know, if you're getting sick when you're having a starter in a restaurant, like, that's not good. Okay. I'm not really going to get into the other side effects of it, but in terms of building muscle, that's something that you need to watch out for, okay? Because your body requires a certain amount of food for you to build muscle, for you to be in a calorie deficit, and for you to maintain. Everybody's calories is different. Like, you can't be going through life with a one size fits all thinking 1200 calories is grand. Oh, the less food the better, I'll really drop body fat then. But it affects your energy, it affects your sleep, it affects your mood, everything. It's a knock-on effect. Okay, so enough about that. I'm also taking on one-on-one clients in March. So I'm doing an early board special at the moment, if you sign up with me in February, but I will be officially launching it in March. So if you have any interest, give me a text on Instagram and I'll send you over my consult form. But I will be advertising it in March, proper launch. But yeah, you can get the early board special if you text me now before the end of March, March 2024, if you're listening to this in the future. So anyway, what is a reverse diet? That is today's episode. So a reverse diet is basically your diet coming out of your diet, all right? So for example, I'm doing photo shoot prep at the moment. Why is that always a tongue twister for me? And when I finish this in May, okay, do I just drop any cardio, drop any type of cardio I've been doing, drop all my steps, drop all my workouts and just go and binge for the foreseeable? That's how people put back on the weight, okay? Because you see it all the time. Well, it's not people's fault because they aren't aware of it, okay? So this is what I'm here to do today, to educate you, okay? Because I also used to think, ah, sure, look, I'm after dropping 7 or 8 pounds now before I go away on holiday. Happy days. I go away, enjoy myself, come back, don't go back to the gym and just go back to old habits. And then I just end up putting it back on, you know, over like 4 or 5 weeks. And I worked so hard at the gym, getting up early, you know, developing a relationship with my PT, getting on great. You know, he was super proud of me. Got into really good eating habits. My body didn't know what was hitting it. And then bang, come back from the holiday and it's staying up till 2 in the morning, eating shit, eating at random times of the day, not eating protein with every meal. And then I end up just putting it back on. And that's what happens. That's what a lot of people are guilty of. So a reverse diet is basically you don't just drop everything. You slowly come out of the diet until you eventually, so you start gradually increasing your calories. So you're still tracking your calories. And this happens over about 6 week periods. Okay. And don't think, oh, well, you know, I was doing like 4 spin classes a week. I was working out 3 times a week and I was doing 10,000 steps a day. Do I have to keep that up now after I come home from holiday to keep it off? Absolutely not. Because remember, when you're in a deficit, you're expending more energy than you're taking in, okay? Energy is food. So you're expending the food and you're taking in less food, okay? So when you are maintaining, what you're doing is you're basically matching the food to the amount that you're moving, all right? So you gradually start walking your way towards that when you, well, let's say you do go away on holiday. Obviously, you're going to indulge yourself, but, you know, 1 week isn't going to make a massive difference unless you're really taking the piss, like you're having dessert with every meal, you're drinking 15 pints a day, like you're not doing yourself any favours, let's be honest, but, you know, you're going away to enjoy yourself in moderation. But no, you don't have to keep up an insane amount of activity. You just lessen it a bit over time. So for example, what I would do is if I was coming out of a deficit and say I was doing 40 minutes of cardio after every gym session, okay, after every weightlifting session, and I was doing 12,000 steps a day, what I would do is my first week after my deficit is finished, I'm happy with how I look, we achieved everything I wanted to achieve, I'd cut that down to maybe 30 minutes now for the first week, 30 minutes of cardio, back down to 10,000 steps, and you know, I might add an extra 100 calories on top of my deficit. And then as the weeks go on, I'll gradually decrease the cardio again by another 10 minutes and gradually increase my calories again. You know, keep steps the same. I've always walked 10,000 steps a day, no matter what phase I was in, because I think it's good to walk and I think it's good to stay active. And I'll still obviously keep my workouts up as well. But now that I'm going to be increasing my calories, I can afford to be a bit stronger in the gym now because I have more energy. I'm not burning as much energy. So, you know, I might even add more strength rounds to my workouts rather than just endurance rounds. So yeah, like cardio will always be there. I think everyone should always do cardio. Like even if it's just, like I'll explain this later on, but like your diet is so important. Like how you go about your diet, because if it's an aggressive diet, like if you are doing 7 spin classes a week, you're cutting out bread and sugar all in the name of a holiday or a wedding, you don't have any PT to give you any guidance. Like when you come back from holiday or, you know, your wedding day, you are going to aggressively rebound because you're like, right, I can have bread and sugar again. Like you've eliminated an entire food group and now you're going to eat it again, probably in copious amounts because you've gone so long without it that you feel like you're allowed it now. You can reward yourself with it and you're probably not going to go back to them spin classes for God knows how long. And then you just whack it back on. Like the rebound, that's what they call it, rebounding, it is going to be very aggressive because the diet was so aggressive. So I think the more sustainable your diet is, the less aggressive the rebound's going to be. And, you know, I suppose it's going to be a lot more healthier and a lot more realistic, and you're going to be able to maintain your weight. Okay, so we've covered if you know how you enter your diet is important, the type of diet that you choose. Like if you were going from 7 spin classes, I wouldn't recommend that whatsoever, or cutting out sugar or bread. You don't need to cut out sugar or bread. But let's say you were one of those people, what I would be doing is when I come home from the holiday, I'd be cutting it down to 3 spin classes a week, and I'd slowly start introducing sugar and bread into my diet again, rather than just like, you know, going head first into the presses. Because once you drop everything and not move, like the repercussions are you're just going to basically put it all back on. Everything you've worked so hard for, you broke yourself up in these spin classes, you know, you gave up bread and sugar when you didn't need to, and then you just put it back on in the end anyway. So, you know, the more sustainable the diet is, the easier the reverse diet is going to be, all right? That's what I would say, because plenty of people, myself included, I didn't know what to do after I lost the weight. I just thought, oh, well, you know, I've lost it now, but I wasn't aware that I would put it back on once I went back to old habits. I thought that I would be able to keep it off, but no, there's actually a system in the way that you keep it off. So how do you keep it off? So what I would say is, I explained it earlier, like you want to be doing cardio no matter what. Like it's for your cardiovascular health, okay? Like, for instance, in the Facebook group that I have for my app users, I don't prescribe cardio to their workouts because it's completely person dependent. And, you know, if 300 people sign up to that, I can't prescribe them all individually what type of cardio they should be doing. But what I do say is, let's say you go to the gym for 3 days a week, you know, working out, lifting weights, and someone else does 4 and someone else does 5. I would say add 10 minutes of like the Stairmaster or the bike, or, you know, the cross trainer at the end of your weight session, 10 minutes. So if you do 3 days working out, that's 30 minutes of cardio you're doing over the week. If you do 4 days, it's 40 minutes. If you do 5 days, that's 50 minutes. Okay. And you're improving your cardiovascular health. And also it is going to help, you know, keep you in check as well. It's going to burn some calories. And if you are going to do spin classes, I wouldn't be, you know, when you come out of your diet, there's no need to be doing 5 spin classes, because like I said, if you want to maintain your weight, you can't be burning more calories than you're taking in, okay? You need to match. And a TD calculator will tell you that. You don't have to figure it out for yourself. So you'll tell it how active you're going to be, and then the TD calculator will be like, okay, well, if you want to maintain your weight, here's the amount of calories you need to be eating for the amount of activity that you're doing, okay? And if I was doing cardio, it would be low intensity. I wouldn't be doing spin classes. They're not really for me, to be honest. I prefer low intensity, steady state cardio. So that's like a Stairmaster, where you keep your BPM, beats per minute, between 135 to 145. You can find that out by looking at your Fitbit while you're on it, or holding on to the metal panels on the machine. And then, you know, if you are in a fat loss phase, you would start off with that, and then you would slowly increase it as the weeks go on, rather than starting out at like an hour cardio each day, like, and then you've got 12 weeks ahead of you. What happens if the scale stalls, like 3 weeks in? You're going to up it to like an hour 15. People don't have that much time on their hands. They don't, especially if you have a family, kids, a busy lifestyle, like it's unsustainable. So yeah, if you want to maintain your weight, I would still keep up the cardio, keep up the steps. Obviously, cardio is going to be far less, and you're keeping active for your cardiovascular health. And obviously, if you just don't move at all and go back to maintenance calories, you know, you will start putting on body fat over time. So that's why it's important to use a TD calculator and not just make up a number in your head. And, you know, use MyFitnessPal to track your food, etc. And then if you want to go into a surplus down the line and build muscle, then you're going to have to eat more food and move less. That's the way it works, okay? So I hope I've described that, in a way that you can understand. Like, I want you to think of it like a business, okay? So a lot of people who would do, like, say, 5-7 spin classes a week and they're cutting out their sugar and their bread, like, they don't need to be doing that much activity. Not 70% of fat loss comes from your diet. So you can't spin class your way to the body that you want, okay? It's not sustainable. You're not going to be able to do 7 spin classes a week for the rest of your life. You're not. So when you actually come to a stop and you get to a place where you want to be, you're going to have to kind of keep up doing 2-3 spin classes a week to maintain that body, because you've been so active. Like, if you want to, you know, maintain that body and not have an aggressive rebound, like, it's going to be so much harder for you. So you don't need to be doing that much work, okay? 70% of your fat loss comes from your diet. 20% is your activity level. So I'd be asking myself, instead of, oh, I didn't do my 7 spin classes this week, ask yourself, did I do a calorie deficit 7 days this week? Because that's what's most important, okay? But I want you to look at it like a business. I'll explain this. So a deficit, all right? An accountant uses the same word as well, a deficit. If you are spending more money on your business than you're taking in, you are in a deficit, okay? You're not making a profit, you're at a loss. That's basically the way a body works, okay? When you're in fat loss, you're spending more energy than you're taking in, okay? And then if you want to maintain, if a company wants to break even, they're spending as much money as they're taking in. So they're not making any profit either, but they're breaking even, they're making their money back, okay? That's basically what maintenance is. And then a surplus, or if you're making a profit, a company is making more money than they're taking in. Okay, or sorry, they're making more money than they're spending. So they're basically eating more food than they're expending, okay? So they're, like, I'm going to use my coach as an example. Like, he has to walk as little as possible, do a little cardio as possible. And it's all about him lifting his weights and getting stronger. He's taking in so much food. I think he actually said he's taking in like 5,000 calories. Like, that is insane. And I'm so jealous with my poverty calories over here. But, you know, again, I will get to go on holiday in June and enjoy myself, and I'll be able to go and have meals with family and friends again and enjoy, like, you know, foods and copious amounts again. Like, this is a commitment I made to myself. But that's exactly how fat loss works, how maintenance works, and how, you know, gaining body fat works. So, for example, someone who sits at a desk all day, doesn't move, but is eating way too much for the amount that they're moving, that's how they put on body fat. So they're barely moving, but they're eating, like, you know, tons of calories, and that food has to go somewhere if it's not being expended, and it gets stored as body fat. That's exactly how it works. So yeah, I hope I've explained that correctly and you understand this. So the key to this podcast is, if you are planning on doing a calorie deficit for, let's say, 12 weeks, make sure it's a sustainable approach, because that way, when you come over, the reverse diet doesn't have to be so aggressive either, okay? Because the last thing you want is to be burned out, fed up, pain in your hole of going to spin classes, doing all these high intensity workout classes where you're throwing dumbbells around the place and jumping up and down like a mad thing 5-7 days a week. And then you come back from holiday and all of a sudden, like, you just stop. That's how you put back on the weight. But if you want a reverse diet out of that, like, you have to slowly come out of that and slowly start increasing your calories. And you're just going to make it harder for yourself. So, you know, when I'm in a regular calorie deficit, I just basically start decreasing my cardio over time, and start increasing my calories over time over a 6-week period. And I barely even notice it. And then by the end of it, I'm just back to normal then. I'm back to not doing as much cardio. I'm back to higher food, and all is well in the world. And I manage to maintain my body. And it just becomes a habit. I'm a creature of habit now. Like, that's just my lifestyle. I'm not saying I'm constantly tracking calories. Like, for example, after this photo shoot, I probably will go around 2 or 3 months of just kind of guesstimating my food, but still be active enough in the gym and stuff, because I do need a break from, like, tracking and stuff. Like, it can, like, get a bit overwhelming and mentally draining. But I won't take time off from my lifestyle where, you know, I have protein with every meal and I go to the gym 4 to 5 days a week and I walk. Like, that will always be a staple in my life. That won't be, you know, oh, I'm not arsed with that this week. Like, that's just always going to be me because I've developed it into a habit. It's like brushing my teeth now. Like, I couldn't imagine my life without it. So eventually, you know, you will get to that place if you keep it up and you remain consistent until eventually, you know, repeating the same boring actions every day over and over actually end up stacking into these habits. And before you know, you look in the mirror at yourself and you won't even recognize yourself. That's what fat loss is. It's doing the most mundane, boring actions over and over and over again until you get to a place where you want to be. Doing the work, knowing the results won't be immediate. That's the key to it. That's where you find peace in this. And yeah, that's literally what it will become if you keep it up, if you remain consistent. But if you're constantly letting a number on a scale dictate your mood every week, you're in it for the wrong reasons. This is a lifelong commitment. This isn't just an 8-week commitment till you go on holiday or a wedding or whatever, and then you come back and you're like, yes, finally lost all the weight. Now I can go back to eating shit and not moving anymore. Like, it doesn't need to be like that. Like, why not keep it up? You've come this far. Why are you taking 10 steps back? Okay, but anyway, I'm going to finish up here. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. And if you have any questions about the podcast today, sure, look, leave a DM on my Instagram. Thanks for listening.